written by the winners. So Republicans might be trying to gain a winning edge as they rewrite the history books. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. I am freelance journalist and author Sean Britton. Join us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at USFed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Again, before we get into domestic politics, Russia and Ukraine. Last week we had US troops sent into Eastern Europe. This week, French President Emmanuel Macron meeting Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky and making NATO nervous by, I don't know if you can say legitimizing, but acknowledging Russian security concerns. What's the latest, Ed?
Well, I think he just let the can out of the bag. I think that's what's been going on, and he stupidly said it because that's what they're going to do. And the question is how they do it. One way of doing it is saying, we won't let them into NATO unless we give you fair warning or notice. Another way is to say, coming in will take 2 or 3 years so you can be prepared. But something like that's going to be the deal.
One we've discussed at length, the January 6th Capitol attack, wherein an angry mob invaded the U.S. Capitol building in an attempt to attack, even kill legislators, resulting in the deaths of 4 people, including a Capitol police officer, and immeasurable damage on American democracy. This has been framed as a legitimate political action by the Republican Party this week. Ed, I'd argue it's not uncommon to see this kind of rewriting of the history books, you know, over the scope of human history, but does feel unusual to actually be living it, seeing it happen so soon. What do you reckon?
Well, of course, Hitler burned the Reichstag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys don't learn anything from history, do they? And this is the same thing. You have to create a narrative that will work for your side. Truth doesn't count. It's all in the narrative. But this one doesn't have all Republicans on side. There's some big time holdouts to this, including the president, what would you call McConnell, the next in charge in the Senate. So I think, and Romney and many others in the Republican Party don't want to swing that way. So unless they can get everybody in the camp, I think it's going to be hard. Furthermore, the evidence is so damning at this point that you've got to tell a much bigger lie than people can see with their own eyes. But maybe this is wishful thinking on my part. I think it is. These people, it is interesting what they've done. They've assembled this lie with the vaccination lie, with all kinds of lies about flat earth, et cetera, and come up with something, abortion, and come up with something. No matter where you want to take this lie, it all leads to the same thing, a strong man in control.
That strong man, Donald Trump, he's doubled down on those promises we mentioned last week to potentially pardon Capitol rioters if reelected. In Texas, he's actually called for more protests should prosecutors do anything wrong or illegal, in his view, by charging him over his election falsehoods, January 6th, or tax fraud. I'm actually curious, if that's the word for it, to see how much power these words wield if he is in fact charged.
Yeah, he's going to be charged. And this, he'll be charged in Georgia, New York, Washington, D.C., and federal charges. This will be a test for the democracy. Mm. There's no doubt about it. And you might as well face it head on, because you can't dance around it anymore.
Well, one that I think is also quite relevant to the confluences of different kind of conspiracy theories or issues that are coming together. Canada has been rocked by ongoing protests surrounding the city of Ottawa, which has now declared a state of emergency due to dwindling supplies resulting from this Freedom Convoy blockade. Now, this protest, the Freedom Convoy, originally was in protest against vaccine mandates for truckers entering or re-entering the country, now largely calling for an end to all mandates and involving fringe groups from both Canada and the United States. Any thoughts?
Well, I think this is the same group, isn't it? The Canadians were fringe groups, the anti-vaxxers, all these right-wing, Rogan, all these right-wing people were in on this. Canadians were in it from the beginning. And Trudeau has lost a lot of support in all this. So if he backs down, then he's going to be lose his own side. And if he confronts them, it's going to be the kind of bloodbath we had here on January the 6th.
Yeah, that's been a key concern at the moment. The well, they are resisting getting the military involved in controlling this blockade, but I just don't see, other than them all running out of gas, what is actually going to stop this one?
Well, of course, you can use the other way around. They can run out of fuel and food, and that's probably what's going to happen.
COVID deaths, it's worth noting, have hit their highest point in a year again this week in the United States. Omicron, milder than Delta, but greatly infectious, killing off many among the over 75 age group, the medically vulnerable, and the unvaxxed. More than 900,000 Americans have now died of COVID-19. Thoughts, Ed?
Look, when you hear from our doctors and doctors around the world, if you're not vaccinated, even Omicron will kill you. If you've only had one dose, still Omicron can break it. But if you get up to booster style, even if you have some underlying conditions, you can survive it. But we're going to move to the Denmark thing. I'd say within 2 months, everyone will be Denmark. Drop all this stuff. No more mandates. And anybody that chooses to die, let them, because if they infect us with Omicron, we can all survive. So there's the choice for you. Don't get your shots or boosters, and then take the consequences.
Confusion around mask mandates in schools have seen students walking out in some areas, where schools have continued to try and enforce mandates despite states lifting restrictions. Generally speaking, states look to be removing mask mandates in spite of the high caseloads and against the medical advice. But as you say, Ed, this is the way we're going. Any thoughts on the, I guess, rocky nature of the process?
Well, clearly they're not going to mandate that children get the vaccine. That's just not going to happen. Parents are nervous about anything about their kids. I think they're going to have to ride it out. Most kids who are infected live. Those kids who have underlying conditions, they'll be warned, and that's the way it's going to work out. I would say by April, there'll be no mandates in school and everything will be voluntary.
I did want to touch on the larger situation for education in America as well, actually. There was an article I was reading a couple of weeks ago, Ed. Public education is facing a crisis of epic proportions. Enrollments are down. More students are going absent or suffering from mental health crises. There's a shortage on teachers and other staff. Like a lot of things, the pandemic's exacerbated a lot of issues that were already there. But education in the States looking seriously damaged. What do you make of it?
Well, I think this is true, but it's true in Australia as well, England and many other places. Teachers can't take this anymore. and students can't either. Several things are going to happen. One, this is the opportunity to have a challenge turn into an opportunity, because you should never let a great good crisis go by. Education around the world needs to be reformed. The 1 through 12 education system we have around the world, a British education system, basically has been bankrupt for some time. And I'm just talking about the content. The organization of schools has been equally bankrupt. So I think there's going to be a big movement over the next several years to change the way schooling is done. And that will mean not the 9-to-5 school we have. Some will inevitably be online. Why not have the best teacher and a teacher's aide over a bad teacher and no aide? So I think we're going to see a big reformation in education. I don't know how elementary and secondary education are being affected, but we both know universities are affected. Almost all lectures are recorded now, and students can come if they want. So I think that's the movement that will happen from high school on. For the younger children, there'll be more of the group education they practice in Israel. My daughters are going to such a school here. It's been much better than what she had in the public school, where the students were just lined up and asked to talk and so on and recite the alphabet rather than being put in groups and work on the alphabet. And she's thriving in this new approach. So I think there are going to be changes in the way schooling is delivered. I would anticipate many of these schools that were called kind of outliers are going to become more central, where there's group education, work with students who have learning disabilities early, get them involved in the education process, and more student-centered learning. So, you know, the pandemic has done an awful lot of bad things, but it's certainly sharpened our awareness about nature. It sharpened our awareness about human frailty, the mental health issues. It's changed the way we start delivering everything, including television. Television studios, I don't think, have a long life. I think television studios are pretty much out. You see all these big shows now, and the guest doesn't come and sit in a chair next to the host anymore. You know, they save that airfare, and the show's just as good. So I think the changes are just beginning, but the combination of technology and education, not schooling, but education reform, will be in tow in the United States. It'll always start in New York and California and Boston.
And just a couple more things before I let you go, Ed. The Winter Olympics held in Beijing, which has controversies of its own, things seem to be going pretty well for China. Australia, a couple of medals there. But what are your thoughts on what's been happening so far?
Well, I think that the show has gone on as it did in Japan. But just like in Japan, some of the big actors haven't shown up. Some can't compete under the conditions that have been put forward. The Chinese are making sure they look good through all this. And so I think the thing that's not being said is the Chinese have created a victory, and then we're plugging in the pieces.
They're getting better. I would have to say, when it comes to China, their approach to everything is kind of the sledgehammer approach. But when it comes to soft power and these kind of displays, they learn very fast.
Very fast. Well, Hitler put on a good Olympics.
And just speaking of sport, any more news on the racism controversies sparked off by the firing of black football coach Brian Flores by the Miami Dolphins? You got that letter yet?
I'm still anticipating the letter. What has happened is almost comical. They've hired a guy for coaching the Miami Dolphins who claims his father is white, but no black, but nobody's ever seen this father. It sounds like many people here claiming they're Aboriginal, but no one's ever seen your Aboriginal parents. And he may very well be a good coach. But he's very young. And the team that was in the spotlight hired one of their own coaches who'd been a coach in the past and said, well, they've been looking at him all the time. But the rules say you should have a search. And why hasn't his name come up on the search? So I think one of the things that's going to come out of this, it'll be the same thing that's happened everywhere, that your search is going to have to go to HR. That's the NFL HR department. It'll have to be approved. Everything will have to be done according to the rules. Now we both know, winks, smile, you still get the candidate you want, but it looks a lot better. And there will be more minority candidates, I would say, in the next round of hiring, just because the white guys are getting pretty old.
Ed and I will be back next week to discuss all the latest goings on in US and world politics. Subscribe so you don't miss a thing wherever you find the podcast, and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.